Let us now turn to read God's Word. And our reading this morning is in the Old Testament and in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel and chapter 3. The Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons make themselves vile and he restraineth them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. And we look to the Lord to give to us his blessing on that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship singing, this time from words from Psalm 62. Psalm 62, and we're singing at verse 8. "Ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is a refuge high. Surely mean men are vanity, and great men are a lie. In balance laid, the holy are more light than vanity. Trust ye not in oppression, and robbery be not vain. On wealth set not your hearts, when as increased is your gain. God hath it spoken once to me. Yea, this I heard again, that power to Almighty God alone doth appertain. Yea, mercy also unto thee belongs, O Lord, alone. For thou according to his work rewardest every one. Psalm 62, at verse 8 to the end, ye people place your confidence in him continually. I want us this morning to turn back to the chapter we read, to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 17. And Eli said, speaking to Samuel, he says, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Quite simply, what Eli is asking of Samuel is, what did God say? What did God say? And that's the question I want to hold in our minds this morning. I indicated there in the intimations that we'll be gathering on Wednesday to gather together the fragments, to take together all the different sermons and to go over them to refresh our minds and our souls of the things that the Lord brought to us in that weekend just past. But I want this morning to engage in a very similar exercise to include all of us. And I want that question to be facing us, confronting us. What did God say to us over these past days in the communion? It's a very personal, very subjective, it's a very individual question, directed to each and to every one of us alone, where we are with our memories and with our thoughts. What did God say to you? Before the communion, we were in Psalm 13. And the heading of that psalm is, how long? How long, Lord? And we applied it some way to ourselves, that how long, Lord, before I get a sign, before I get assurance? How long, Lord, before? And we want some special sign or experience. How long, Lord? We want some personal text that will be a foundation to send us forth and send us out. How long, Lord? We want some great event that involves us, to encourage us, aim just at you where you are. How long, Lord? But there's no biblical basis for that kind of hope and prayer and expectation, because what the Lord simply looks for is faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his Son. That commitment of our soul and all our interests for eternity into his hand and to what he has achieved on the cross. That's what the Lord looks for from you and from me. So therefore, before the communion, we had that question, how long? And now that the communion is passed, I want to apply it, the communion, in its experience and in all its services, by asking this other question. What did God say? What is it the Lord is saying to your soul? What is it that the Lord has been addressing in your life? What is it that the Lord has been pointing up in your experience? We have here in 1 Samuel 3, this great theme that God was speaking to Samuel. Well, God indeed was speaking to Samuel, and through Samuel speaking to Eli. But God is a living God, and He still speaks to us today. God is speaking. And the question is, are we listening? And if we're listening, what are we doing with what He is telling us? As we say there, God was not speaking directly to Eli, the high priest. Normally that would be the line of communication, but Eli, the high priest, was not living as he should have been, and he lost that privilege of God dealing with him directly. And so now God speaks and warns him through others. That's the consequence of sin. We lose that status, but we also lose that sensitivity. We're not aware of our sliding, and neither are we aware of that callousness, that lack of sensitivity coming upon us. And we begin to tolerate things that in other circumstances we would not tolerate. There is a blockage in the openness between Eli and his God. And we can see sometimes that reflected with ourselves also. All because of sin in his life. We are told in chapter 2:27 of the way in which God first of all sent a man. No name, that's not important. The mission is what's important. And he sent a man to speak with Eli about what had happened in his life. Eli didn't heed that warning, and so in chapter 3 we have God sending a son, a little child, to speak to him. And we're confronted there with the persistence and the progressive nature in which we, in the way in which God speaks with us. God uses a whole variety of means to deal with Eli, and he uses the same variety of means in speaking to and dealing with us. We've identified perhaps something that was said in the sermons of this past weekend. But it could also just as well be these very sermons opening up a memory of something in an altogether different place from a different lips of a different person, maybe even in a different language. The Lord is opening up a memory, perhaps of friends or family now gone from us, but what they said suddenly comes back to confront us. There are indeed a whole variety of ways the Lord works. Things come into our lives that upset us, disturb us, perplex us, confuse us. And these circumstances also are by themselves used by the Lord to speak to us, to bring to our attention spiritual things. God indeed speaks. Even although there are barriers and although there are problems in the life of Eli, God does still speak to him. And God does also speak to us. There are many things that we know of, and there are much more that we don't know of in our life that would displease God and put us at a distance from him. But the doors of windows of heaven are not shut yet. God is still speaking to us. And the question is, and it's a simple question that we linger with in our mind, what did God say? That's therefore what I want us to think of this morning. And to particularly apply it to our communion season past. And can I just simply outline three or four thoughts to keep on revisiting that scene and promoting, presenting this question before our minds. And the first thing I want us to think of, it was a very solemn occasion. It was a very solemn occasion for Samuel, and it was also a very solemn occasion for all of us. The Lord came and the Lord stood and the Lord spoke as at other times with Samuel. And the Lord meets with us on other services. Yes, and especially at times of communion. There are sermons from other voices, other preachers. There are different ways of expressing things that maybe challenge us when we've heard them for so long, so often in the past. There are also set before us in very vivid way the meaning and significance of the gospel itself and the broken bread and the poured out wine. All of these things bring home to us the solemnity of the occasion that Samuel was in and that we have just been through. And we've been there, and it says it in verse 10, the Lord came. And that's the solemnity for Samuel. And it's the same solemnity for us. There was that divine guest present. It weighs with us. It brings seriousness upon us. Our focus immediately changes to God's dealings with us. Nobody else in between. We are alone, just you and your God, me and my God. A solemn occasion. And in that solemn occasion, God spoke to Samuel. In that solemn occasion of last week, God spoke to us. He spoke to us through the scriptures and through the symbols and the elements on that table before us. And there was always the challenge coming to us of the gospel and our relationship to him. And perhaps we've tried to duck and dive these things and we say, well, that was God dealing with Samuel. That was God dealing with David in one of the Psalms, Psalm 13. That was God dealing with Paul in the way in which he wrote the letters and the epistles in the New Testament. And we try to avoid the challenge of this solemn occasion. This is our audience with Almighty God. There is an immediacy in meeting with him now. He is present with us. He calls us. He speaks to us. He makes known to us what he requires from us. He says, repent now. Believe now. Seek him now. Today he looks for that response, and today he looks for that trust in our lives. He comes and he deals with us with spiritual and eternal things. For these moments over the communion season, for these moments with Samuel, time and sense simply faded and melted away. We were alone, and the things that were of our soul and of salvation and of eternity, they came vividly and powerfully upon us. That's the solemnity of what took place last week. And we've got to beware. We have to beware of trifling with what God says. He is patient. He is long-suffering. But there is a promise, there is a solemn statement made in Scripture, the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. God then isolates Samuel. God isolates us. And the Lord speaks to us in Psalm 46. He says, be still and know that I am God. There is so much noise, so much din, there is so much distractions of life, of business, of things in the past, of things to come in the future. There is just so much cramming into our minds. We have the communion, and even that sometimes can be a distraction because we've got the pattern, we've got the services, we've got the old ways that we regularly do things. And that creates its own problems. And maybe we crowd God out of our life. Maybe we push God to the edge just simply by these routines and these things that we've always done. But now God is redressing that. And now God is speaking to us in the quietness of His house, in the quietness of our soul. And God is speaking to us and reminding us of things that were said last week, so very solemn, urgent, important for us. There is one thing that we need to attend to more than anything else. There is an urgency over that thing because we don't know how long we've got to address it. We've got to make sure that our souls are right with God. We're told, remember the preaching of John the Baptist. He said to the people, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's close, it's near. You don't know how long any one of us has got. Equally, the psalmist says, he makes a prayer that he might apply his heart to wisdom. Wisdom to get things in their proper priority. Wisdom to attend to the things that need attention first and foremost. All of these are colorings. All of these are different ways of sharpening up the solemnity of that occasion. And as we think of it again and revisit it, the question comes back to us, what did God say on that solemn occasion? When you had there the bread and the wine, when the light of the scriptures was shed upon the table and gave meaning and significance to what took place. Why did he die? Why did these things happen? What's the significance of them before us? And we're reminded of the way in which the Lord, our God, suffered and died to make these things available to us. Solemn. He's speaking. Are we listening? And that indeed is the second thing that I want us to think of here. Yes, the solemn occasion, but then there is brought out for us also in the life of Samuel the special duty on that occasion. He went time and again to ask Eli, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And Eli says, no, go back and lie down. And the next time you hear, this is what you're going to say. And he says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There is Samuel listening to what God was saying to him. A special duty, a special responsibility upon Eli, upon Samuel, and also upon ourselves over these past few days of our communion season. Isaiah 55 and 3 tells us, incline your ear, hear, come to me, listen, and your soul shall live. The Lord is speaking of things that are important for us. But so often we quickly dismiss, lay it to one side, walk away from what God is saying to us. And what we need is a peg in our soul on which to hang these things permanently. A special duty to listen and to retain what God is saying. We need to do that very thing. We need to sit and to be quiet before Him. Remember what was said about Mary. Mary was involved in wonderful things about the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary was involved in amazing unfolding of God's purposes and plans. And we're told in one place, and Mary pondered over these things. Simply, it means that she just took time and made space to go over them and over them and over them again, to understand them, to hold them, to apply them. That special duty, that special responsibility Samuel had, Mary had, we have, to listen and to retain what God is saying. Do we then take them away? Do we go over and over and over again what the Lord has said? Or do we let these things simply slip off and slip out of our life as water off a duck's back? We can all remember the words and the teaching of the parable of the sower and the seed, and the way in which the seed is dealt with in different ways. It sometimes is eaten by the birds, sometimes it's sown among stones, other times it's choked by the thorns, and only in the last illustration is it take root in good ground and grow. And the challenge come to us, well, which one of these is our life? Which one represents you and me? That special duty, what did the Lord say? Are we listening? Listen to the truth. We can be afraid sometimes of that truth. Sometimes, at the beginning, especially, this is what happens. God makes us feel uncomfortable. God's light plays upon our life and into our soul. God's light comes into our life and we try to put up the shutters, stop our ears. We allow our minds to drift and to roam as far as they can away from what He is saying. But now we cannot, we dare not. God is speaking the truth to us. And it is true and it is right and it is good. We therefore need to listen to what He is saying. He is speaking to us, challenging us. We don't have the option to take it or to leave it. But the Lord is looking for our repentance. He's looking for our trust. He's looking for our commitment. And God speaks with all of the authority and all the power of the Lord God Almighty. He is the one who is speaking. We read in the Old Testament of the prophets, and they spoke the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to them, and they shared the word of the Lord with the audience and the nation that they were addressing. And then you come into the New Testament, into the book of Hebrews chapter 1, and it says, God, who at sundry times and in different ways spoke to the people through the prophets. That's the Old Testament summary. And what's He doing in the new? God, who has done that in the past, has in these latter days spoken unto us through Jesus Christ, His Son. God indeed is speaking to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. He is speaking to us about spiritual solemn issues. He is speaking to us of our need when the Word comes right down beside us. When the Lord, to our appreciation, seems to be close by us. When He seems to be sitting there on the pew beside us, speaking to us on a one-to-one basis. The Lord drawing close when the things of this world just fade away, as we've said. and the Lord is speaking. Isaiah 55, we mentioned it, identifies things that we can see in our own society today. Why are you spending your money on this, that, and the other that doesn't profit you? Why are you spending your life and chasing after things that will never give you satisfaction? Why are you putting out so much enthusiasm and energy and commitment on that which ultimately will disappoint you? Why are you doing that? The Lord is sitting beside us, speaking to us. And he says, listen, come. Come to me. And I will give you rest. Come to me and take my yoke upon you. Come to me and listen to what I am saying. I am speaking words of peace to you. The peace that the world gives, that's not what I'm offering and giving to you. The Lord is speaking. The Lord is calling. Go back again to Isaiah chapter 43. And there you have, he says, I have called you. You are mine. And the special duty, as the Lord calls, maybe through special services, the communion services. But also he speaks regularly through the preaching and the ministry of the Word by God, week by week. God is indeed speaking to us. And there is laid upon us, therefore, the special duty. Are we listening? And I would heighten that special duty by that question again. What is it the Lord has said to you? So there we have the solemn occasion. There we have the special duty. What else can we say? It was a very specific time. That very night, the Lord met with Samuel. Oh yes, there had been other occasions, at least three that are recorded for us in this very chapter. There were other occasions when the Lord spoke to Samuel, but Samuel didn't understand what was happening. Samuel, we're told, did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him in verse 7. There was that time when he didn't understand what God was saying and what God was doing. But then Eli explained it. Eli explained that it was the Lord that was calling Samuel. And that was a decisive moment. That was the point on which everything turned. That night. With the understanding that he had then been given, he could read everything that was happening and what the Lord was saying. He could read it in a different way. And it all came into place because of what Eli had said and the confrontation that took place that night. A specific time for Eli, for Samuel rather. And a specific time for us. How many sermons have we heard in the past? How many more do we need? God has given us his message. God has given to us the portrayal of the essence and the center of the gospel in the communion of the broken body and the poured out wine. There we have it before us. And we're not left simply to guess at its meaning and significance, because there it is, and the Lord has given us understanding and explanation of what it represents, what it means, how it's achieved, what it accomplishes. All of that is set out for us in this gospel. That was the specific time. There, as we gathered for our communion services, the Lord meeting with us. And what did he say to us? That specific time. We've known the effect of sin in our life. We've discovered the vanity of life. We've been let down and we've been disappointed in spiritual things at other times, other places. We've conducted so many different spiritual experiments. We've come to the conclusion that peace cannot be found in the things of this world. If that's what we've come to, and the Lord has given us that understanding, He's been drawing back the veil, He's been shedding His light, He's been illuminating aspects, corners, dimensions of our life, year after year, sermon after sermon. The Lord has been bringing a candle, sometimes a blazing light, sometimes little reflections. God has been dealing with you and me, building up that understanding that we've got now about where we are and what we are. And it all comes to a climax, and it comes to a crunch and challenge at a specific time. That night for Samuel. I suggest last communion for some of us. What is it the Lord said to you then? Through one of these sermons. Through what happened and took place. What happened here in this very building just a week ago. We should not, we dare not linger on thin ice. We are but a frail breath away from meeting with God. There is perhaps a lingering effect, just 1 week gone, that's all, just 7 days, that's all. The memory of it is still there in our memory. The power of the experience and what was said and what was exchanged and what was done. It's only 7 days old. There's still a sensitivity of it, about it. It still has an impact upon us when we think of it. Seize the moment then. Seize the moment. Before the hardness of sin and the influence of this world sets to work in you again. We don't know how long we've got the opportunity. We don't know how long we've got of sand in the hourglass. In middle age, perhaps. And we might forget the things that we were taught in younger years. In old age, perhaps, when all that we're left with is a bundle of memories in a box, seize the moment. The Lord is speaking solemnly, special, specific. He is speaking to us today. And as He speaks, yes, there's a specific time, these services of the communion. But there are other specific times we can just bring them in. For example, when the voice of death speaks and death visits and a friend, maybe somebody in the family is taken from us. A specific time the Lord might use to speak to us. In the blinking of an eye, somebody's taken and the door is closed. And that door is closed. Matthew 25, go back and read it again. The door is closed and it can never, ever, ever be opened. Yes, a specific time when the Lord is speaking to us. What is it the Lord has said? A solemn occasion, special duty, specific time. Let's just close by looking at the spiritual dangers that are confronting us just now. The gospel door, yes, we've mentioned it already, the gospel door is open before us. And He speaks to us and He calls us to Himself. But if we pass by, that one Lord who is today inviting us will one day be our judge. Are we listening and responding to what He says? And just as we said it there also a moment ago, don't harden your heart. There is so much in these days that goes in that direction. So many things come from society about us and upon us. There's so much of this world's society's influence that just simply goes straight against any kind of Christian concern or sensitivity. We can see, we've spoken about a duck. Well, think of a dog, our own dog, when it goes into the water up the canal, out the canal or up the glen in the river. It goes into the water and it comes out of the water and it immediately just simply shakes itself to dry itself off. Nothing remains. It's all discarded. There's no permanent effect from what and where he's been. That's the danger with us. It's shaken off. It doesn't stay. But for Samuel, it was different. For Samuel, his whole life was changed from that moment onward. That one specific time, that one confrontation with God, it had an effect upon him for the rest of his life and all of his days. It can be the same with us also. Take the Lord God at his word and at his promise. He is indeed able to do what he has said. He has given us the greatest sign possible to encourage us. He raised his own son who died on the cross, raised him from the dead, and displayed his mercy and put a sign and a mark upon that work. And he says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased and satisfied with everything that he has done." There is no surer stance that we can take than to stand on the promises of God. His character, his reputation are tied to them. The danger there of hardening our hearts, the warning that Samuel gives, the change that he experienced, that leaves a challenge for ourselves. His life was different from that time onwards. Are we, from last weekend onwards? The question therefore lingers with us. It comes to our soul and our heart now. What is it that the Lord has said to you? He has been with us and he has addressed spiritual things. He has told us of eternity and of salvation. He has given us the signs and he's explained them to us. What more do we need? The responsibility now comes down to ourselves as we deal with our soul and our relationship with God. He requires our trust. He looks for our faith, our reliance upon him. That's what he has spoken about. Have we heard? Are we doing it? What is it that the Lord has said to you? Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, we bless thy name for the power of thy word and for the way in which thou dost draw near to us in it and through it, dealing with us alone and individually where we are. And we pray, our Lord and our God, that thy blessing would be upon each one of our souls, and that we might know that influence of heaven breaking in, challenging us and changing us for good. Deal with us in thy grace and in thy patience, Almighty God, we pray, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and at verse 5. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those thy paths divine. so that my footsteps may not slide out of those ways of lying. I called have on thee, O God, because thou wilt me hear, that thou mayest hearken to my speech, to me incline thine ear. Thy wondrous loving kindness show thou that by thy hand saves them that trust in thee from those that up against them stand. As the apple of the eye me keep, and thy wings shade me close, from lewd oppressors compassing me round as deadly foes. Psalm 17, 5 through 9, four stanzas. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.